Psalm 17, verse 5, verse 6, one of my favorite verses in all the Bible. And it says this, and God knows what He's talking about. Psalm 17, 6 says this, "Children's children are the crown of old men." That's your grandchildren. And boy, I know that to be true. I'll tell you what, I got those three. Some of you have been hearing a little video of them singing, 5 years old, "What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood." Psalm 17, 6, it says, "Children's children are the crown of old men." And it says this, "And the glory of children are their fathers." You know, children looks up to their dad. There's no more influence in a children's life than their fathers. Fathers, they look up to their children. Somebody said, "Children love their mothers, but they follow their fathers." They look up for leadership, like that song my wife sung about children. Nobody but nobody is like Daddy. He might weigh 90 pounds, soaking wet. Brother Ben might have to do 10 push-ups to get a drop of blood out of him. But if you talk to that kid, he could whip King Kong and Godzilla with one thumb. Nobody's like Dad. Like a little girl one time, she is scared to go to bed. She's about 3 or 4, Miss Samantha, and her father was a Christian. He told her, he said, "Now honey, you don't have to be afraid. Jesus is there with you." And she said, he said, "All you need to do, honey, is just pray to Jesus, and Jesus will help you. He'll watch over you." And so he left the room, and a few minutes later, she come back in the room with her dad, and there she was by the bed. And he said, "Honey, didn't you pray?" She said, "I prayed to Jesus and told him to help me." And he said, "Go get you." Hey, there's a lot of truth to that, isn't there? Sometimes when you pray to Him, you want the Lord to say, "Hey, go talk to your daddy. Let him figure this thing out." I mean, kids want to please and they want to impress their dads. Every one of them. My little grandson, they tickle me. When I go down to Florida, they got a trampoline in the backyard. And my son-in-law will be out there. And the two, one of them's 5, one of them's 2. And they'll jump on the trampoline and they'll say, "Daddy, watch me, Daddy. Daddy, watch me. Watch this, Daddy. Daddy, watch this." They'll get in the front yard. They got a basketball go. And they'll play basketball. And they'll say, "Daddy, watch me. Look, Daddy, watch me." You know what? Children want to please their dad. They want to impress them. I don't care what he's like. That's just the way we are. We want to impress them. 43% of U.S. children live without a father. 43%. 63% of teen suicides come from a fatherless home. 90% of all runaways and homeless children are from fatherless homes. 80% of rapists come from a fatherless home. 85% of children with behavioral problems come from fatherless homes. 71% of pregnant teenagers from a fatherless home. 71% of all high school dropouts from a fatherless home. 75% of all patients in a drug abuse center are from fatherless homes. 85% of all youth in prison come from a fatherless home. There's nobody like Dad. Dad is the one that leads and guides a lot of times. And you know what? We're the ones a lot of times when the kids see us, we're the ones that reminds them of God the Father a lot of times. Like I read about a little boy one time, Miss Carol, and he was dying. He had terminal illness. He was about 4 or 5 years old, and he was a Christian family. And the little boy, he was laying in bed, and he heard him crying, and the doctor's talking to him, and his dad came over there to him by the bed, was praying. The little boy asked him, he said, "Dad, I'm dying. I'm dying, ain't I?" And he said, "Yeah, son, you're dying." And he said, "Son, you're going to go be with Jesus." And he said, "Son," he said, "don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Jesus will watch over you." And he reached over and grabbed his dad's face. And he said, "Dad, I won't be afraid. Not if he's anything like you." That's good stuff, see. You know what, kids? They're impressed with their dad. You know what every kid wants to do? They want to please their dads, what they want to do. And I want to tell you this morning, I have a good daddy, Brother Dot. July the 30th, my earthly father, he loved me. But I tell you, July the 30th, 1975, I got me a wonderful daddy. Amen. And you know what? Above everything on this whole world, every wealth, every job, every ambition, every goal, every dream I have, Miss Samantha, I want to please Him more than anything on this earth. I remember when me and my wife, she probably don't remember this, We were thinking about getting married. We was dating and all that stuff. And we was getting close, you know. I told her, I said, I can't promise you nothing. I said, the only thing I'm going to promise you is I'm going to try to serve God the best way I can. I remember, I said, we may be here in America, we may not. I don't know what's going to happen this deal. But I said, the one thing I want to do is serve God. And I'm going to tell you, above everything on this earth, everything I could imagine, I want to please my Father. And I want to preach a few minutes on how to please your Father. Turn to John chapter 8. John chapter 8. Here's what it said about the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to please Him. I love that prayer Brother Ben prayed. I like it. I like a tender heart. Amen. I like somebody that's concerned about souls, brother. But I tell you what, if a soul gone to hell don't break your heart, something wrong. Something wrong. I want to please Him. John chapter 8 verse 29, the Lord says this, and He that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please Him. That's what the Lord said. Jesus Christ was the Son of God. He said, everything I do, I please Him. I want to preach a few minutes on how to please your Father. Number one, let me just say this. First thing, you want to please Him, I'll tell you how you please Him. Brag on His Son. That verse we read, children, children of the crown of old men, the glory of fathers is their children. I want to tell you what, you want to please a father, you want to get him excited, you just brag about his children. That'll do it. You want to please Chris, you want to get on Chris's good side, I'll tell you how to do it. Don't tell him how cute he looks in that beautiful tie, tell him about Peyton. Say, man, Brother Chris, you've done a good job with that kid. And brother, he has. That's a good kid. You want to get on the good side? Brag on his son. Every parent likes to hear you brag and talk about their children. I've been around here this morning running around showing you that video of my little grandson singing. You say, why? I'm proud of that kid. You want to get on my good side? Brag about my children. You want to get on God the Father's good side? You want to please Him? Brag about His Son. Turn to Matthew chapter 3 and get Matthew 17 and 2 Peter 1. You want to please your Father? Brag about His Son. Matthew chapter 3, Matthew 17, and 1 Peter chapter 1. I want to please Him. Do you want to please Him this morning? I mean, really. I mean, really, really want to please God the Father. I do. Miss Annie Mae, I want to please Him more than anything on this earth. He's up here. Everything else is down here. Everything. Look at Matthew chapter 3 verse 17. Here's where Jesus is baptized. Verse 17, and a voice from heaven came down saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. That's what God the Father said about His Son. Look at Matthew 17 verse 5. Here they are on the Mount Transfiguration. Here it is again, Matthew 17. God said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. You want to please Him? Brag about His Son. Look at Matthew 17:5. While He yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overscattered them. And behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye Him. You want to please God the Father? Brag about His Son. Look at 2 Peter chapter 1. Verse 17. It says this. 2 Peter 1:17. Talking about the Mount Transfiguration there, we just read where Peter was there, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 17. For he received from God the Father honor and glory. God honored and gloried His Son. He was proud of Him. And when He came, such a voice from the excellent glory, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. He said, what He's trying to say? You want to please God the Father, your Father? Brag about His Son. And you know what? That's the easiest thing in the world if you're saved. That's the easiest thing in the whole world. That's easier than eating a Dunkin' Donut. And that's pretty easy. I mean a chocolate one with cream filled inside and sprinkles on top. I mean, that's good stuff. I mean, Ben's on the diet. See, I'm aggravating him a little bit. I know what's going on. See, hey, if you're saved this morning and you've been born again and you know Jesus Christ died for you here in His love, not that we love God, but He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sin, it ought to be the easiest thing in the world to brag about Him. I love it. Brother Zito has been such a blessing to me. Going around Walmart, he's great at talking to people. I'm not that good. I'm learning. I'm getting a lot better watching him. So he's kind of my mentor on this deal. Usually when I go to Walmart, I'm like a ball in a pinball machine. I'm bing, 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 bing. I'm in and out. I don't even know half what they got in that store. I told Brother Z the other day, since we've been kind of walking around and talking, I said, I saw all kind of neat things Walmart sells I didn't know they sold. I go get what I want, get out. But I've been going around talking, hey, that's the easiest thing in the world to brag about Jesus Christ. We love it, man. We're having a ball. You want to please your Father? Brag about His Son. Lift Him up. Praise Him. Praise Him. Jesus, our blessed Redeemer. Hell of His excellent greatness. You know the reason I think God bless so Fanny Crosby so much? Because she bragged about His Son. That song, Praise Him. I love that song. I was saying a while back, we ought to start every service with that. Praise Him, praise Him. Jesus, our blessed Savior. Sing, O earth, His wonderful praise. To God be the glory. Redeem, redeem, how I love to proclaim. I mean, all her soul lifted up and bragging about her Son. You want to please God the Father? Brag about His Son. Every father likes to hear you brag about his son. I got a tape at home. And it's a 2-hour soul winning course by Jack Hiles. It's a great tape. It's a great tape. It's funny. He's a funny guy. He's telling you how to lead people to the Lord and stuff in there. And he talks about in there something I do, which I've learned. He said when you're out witnessing, you know, you want to break the ice and you want a guy to get good. He said one of the best ways to do it, if you see their children, brag on their children. When I'm at Walmart and I see somebody with their kid, first thing I zero in, Brother Anthony. I said, well, that's a fine looking young man you got there. Oh, really? You think so? That's all it takes. You can give them a rattlesnake in, they'll put it in their pocket. That's all it takes. Jack Hiles is talking about you brag on their kids and they'll listen to you. They'll talk to you. You go up there cold and say, hey, let me give you a gospel track. A lot of them look at you like, uh-oh, what's this guy up to? But boy, you brag on their kids, man, they'll just lay it out. They'll start emptying their pockets for you. Won't they? You need some money? Jack Hiles talking about that tape. He said there's this one insurance salesman back in those days. Y'all remember when insurance salesmen used to come by all the time? They don't do it anymore now. But they used to come by all the time, you know. I remember that. He said this insurance salesman would come by my house, and Jack Hiles said I couldn't stand that guy. He said he was so pushy. And he said if he had come, we wouldn't come to the door. He said, that guy just drive you crazy. He wouldn't leave when he got there. He said he'd try to sell you everything. He said, I never bought anything for that. He said, I wouldn't touch anything that guy had. And he said one day, Jack Hiles said, he's out there raking leaves in his yard. And he's got two kids that are out there playing and he's raking leaves. And he said he saw that guy's car drive up there at the curb. And Jack Hiles said, oh boy. And so Jack Hiles ran out there and he got against the door where he couldn't open it. Wouldn't let him out, Miss Samantha. And Jack Hiles said on that tape, he said he didn't even look at me. He said he looked at my two kids over there playing and he said, aren't you the two cutest things I ever seen? And Jack Hiles opened the door and said, won't you come in? He said, I bought 2 insurance policies that day. He said, anybody smart enough to brag on my kids, I'll buy their insurance. Hey, you want to please God the Father? Brag about his son. Brag about his son. I tell you something else you want to please God your Father? Breathe in His Spirit. Breathe in His Spirit. You know when you got saved, the Bible said in John chapter 3, that you must be born again. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit, marvel not, I said unto ye, you must be born again. When you got saved, the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God, came inside you. And He lives inside you. And He walks with you, talks with you. And the word spirit, that a Greek word for spirit is pneuma. You know what it means? It means breath. That's what it means. It means wind. It means breathing. In Genesis 2:7, the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, and He breathed. That's the word for spirit. Breathed into him the breath of life. And man became a living soul. Job 27:3 said, oh, why my breath is in me, and the Spirit of God is in my nostrils. You want to please God your Father? Breathe in His Spirit. You know what we do? We get saved and the Holy Ghost gets in us. And you know what happens? We quench it. We cut him off. We don't let him breathe. I mean, he's taken in there, brother, and we just quench the Spirit of God. We resist the Spirit of God, the Bible says. And after a while, we'll just walk in the flesh. And you will not please God in the flesh. It's not possible. Turn to John chapter 20 and get Romans chapter 8. See, what are you trying to say? I want to save you. You want to please God, your Father? Brag on His Son. You want to please Him? Breathe in His Spirit. You're not going to please Him walking in this flesh. It's not going to happen. This flesh, the Bible says, is the enmity of God. That means the enemy. It'll battle all the way through your life. Look at John chapter 20. If you want to please God the Father, breathe in His Spirit. Let the Holy Ghost of God, if you've been saved, that came inside you and sealed you into the day of redemption, the Bible says, let Him breathe. Let Him breathe. Breathe. Let Him have that liberty in your life. Crucify this flesh and the affections and lust thereof, the Bible says. Look at John chapter 20, verse 22. When He had said this, He breathed on them and said, receive ye the Holy Ghost. You say, why? That's the breath of God. That's the thing that gave us the spiritual life, my friend. And God wants you to breathe in His Spirit. You know what we do a lot of times? We quench it. We fight against it. When God saved you, made you a new creature, a spiritual creature, and the Holy Ghost came inside. 1 Corinthians 6:19 says, what, know ye not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you? He lives in you. Let Him breathe. Don't quench Him. Look at Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Bible said in John 4:24, God is a Spirit. God is a Spirit. And they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and truth. You can't do it in the flesh. That's what you're trying to say, preacher. I'm trying to say, breathe in His Spirit. Let the Spirit of God have liberty in your life. Look at Romans chapter 8, verse 1. There is therefore no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. I talked about this morning in Revelation. Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. See, you can be saved. He's talking to saved people there. See, you can be saved walking in the flesh and sitting under the condemnation of God. The wrath of God sitting on you, fighting it. What are you talking about? Look at verse 5. For they are that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they are of the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because a carnal man is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can it be. So they that are in the flesh cannot please God. See what He said, breathe in His Spirit, let the Spirit of God loose in your life. Look at verse 12. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if you live after the flesh, you should die. But if through the Spirit you do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. Over in the book of Galatians chapter 5, it said, walk in the Spirit, you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary one to the other, that you cannot do the things you would. That thing battles over and over and over and over and over. You want to please God? Breathe in His Spirit. Let the Spirit of God have liberty in your life. If you just live after this flesh, my friend, you won't please God. It said that no flesh we just saw pleases God. Not only that, you want to please God? Brag on His Son. Breathe in His Spirit. You want to please Him? I want to tell you, bathe. Bathe in His Scriptures. Bathe in His Scriptures. Nothing like a little smelly, dirty kid, is it? Amen. I mean, let's be honest now. We can be honest. I saw Leave It to Beaver. I love Leave It to Beaver. I was watching it the other night, Miss Samantha. It was great. And Ward and June, Mom and Dad, they're looking out the window, you know, and it's raining down. And their kids, they're waiting for them to come home, and they see this kid walking, Miss Carol, and he had his raincoat on. And they're watching this kid. They say, there comes a kid. And Ward said, look at that kid. He just jumped in a mud puddle. He said, I wonder whose kid that is. He starts walking up her sidewalk. And they said, that's Beaver. He came in the door and his dad said, Beaver, what in the world did you jump in that mud puddle for? He said, "Well, Dad, I got these new shoes. I wanted to see if they was waterproof." And he said, "They're not." Hey, don't we all do that? Brother Zito, don't we just miss Carol every once in a while, just like a step in a mud puddle and walk around it? I mean, don't we just like to get dirty every once in a while? You know what God wants us to do? Take a bath in His Scriptures. This Bible will clean you up. This is God's amazing soap right here. Turn to Psalm 119. Get Psalm 119. Get Ephesians chapter 5. We all like to get dirty. Let's just be honest with you. Some of you ladies, you over here kind of high and say, "Well, I don't like to." Yeah, every once in a while you do. You like to reach down and grab a piece of mud and wipe it on your face, don't you, Mr. Man? She's going, "Yeah." She's saying no, but inside she said, "Yeah, every once in a while." Every once in a while I like to take a piece of mud. We're all that way. We like to get dirty every once in a while. You know what? We walk this old world, we'll pick up dirt all the way, and God says, "Hey, take a bath in my Scriptures." Look at Psalm 119. Psalm 119. Verse number 9. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereunto, according to thy word. This book right here will clean you up. You want to get close to God? You want to please God your Father? Bathe in His Scriptures. The Bible said in 1 Peter, it said, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." I'm going to tell you, friend, when you get dirty out there and get in the world and everything, I want to tell you, God will separate fellowship with you. Isaiah 59. It says, "The Lord's hand is not short that it cannot save, His ear deaf that it cannot hear, but your sins and iniquities have separated you between you and your God." You can lose that fellowship. You want to please God? Take a bath in His Scriptures. Take a bath. Bathe in His Scriptures. Bathe in them. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25. "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church and gave Himself for it, that He might sanctify." Sanctify means to clean and separate. "And cleanse it with the washing of water by the Word." Bathe in His Scriptures. Brother, you'll get dirty in this old world. Took us turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Bieber, one time, well, it may have been this week, he came in one day, and I mean, he was dirty. He'd been playing in the junkyard with some of his friends. He said, "Oh, Mom, it's great in that junkyard." And his mom said, "Look at you, Bieber." And dust going flying everywhere. And they're getting ready to eat. And his dad said, "You can't come to the table like that. You got to take a bath." He said, "But I took one yesterday." You know what God says sometimes? Hey, you can't come to the table like that. You need to clean up, get in the Word of God. Hey, Lord, I read 2 verses last month. You need to get bathed every day. Bathe in the Scriptures. You know what I do when I get up? I take a bath in the Scriptures. I take a shower. You know what I can do? Before I used to go to work, I'd get up 30 minutes every morning early. Say why? Take a bath in the Scriptures. I took a physical shower. I drank some coffee. I brushed my teeth. But I got the Word of God, Miss Samantha, and I brushed my teeth. Make sure my mouth was clean before I leave the door. One of the lamest excuses I've ever heard somebody say, "I don't have time to read the Bible." You got time to brush your teeth, don't you? Brush your teeth with that book. You got time to drink a cup of coffee and take a shower. Spend some time in the book. You want to please God your Father? Bathe in His Scriptures. Take a bath. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Somebody said that sin will keep me from this book, or this book will keep me from sin. This book will clean you. You want to please God your Father? You want Him to snuggle up to you and be a blessing like Brother Earl did? Like that? You want God close to you? Take a bath. Take a bath! Take a bath. We was out here cleaning yesterday. And boy, we got hot and sweaty and dirty, didn't we? Woo! We were soaking wet. And I went out there and I painted over here. I had paint, could smell paint. And I took some bleach and Joe Max and I sprayed and cleaned off the porch, and that stuff was all on me and I could smell it, and bleach all over me. Some afternoon when I was sweating, it'd run down to my eyes and my mouth and I could taste it. It was pretty nasty stuff. And boy, me and Brother Zito, we were the last two here outside of Uncle Reuben. Anyway, we got ready to leave. We got to the car and Brother Zito said, "Man, I can't wait till I get home and get me a cold shower." That's what he said. I said, "Me and you too. You know what? Sometimes in the world you just get dirty and sweaty and just nasty all out there. You know what I like to do is get in the Word of God and take me a cold shower." Amen. Man, I went home yesterday. I was so tired. I was beat, Brother Zito. And boy, I got in that shower, Brother Don, and got some cleaned up a little bit. Son, I could have done the two shell, man, after a while. That's the way it is. I mean, I'd get tired and weary in the world, and I'd get in there and bathe in the Scriptures. Man, I'm ready to go. You want to please God your Father? Bathe in those Scriptures. Take a bath in them. Let God use you. I get old sweaty sometimes, and I go out there and cut the grass, and I sweat anyway. You can tell. And I'm out there cutting the grass, you know, and I'll come in, I'll be just soaking sweat, soaking. And Sarah will be there, and I'll say, "Come here, Sarah Lee. Give your daddy a great big old hug." She'll get up and start running. She don't want nothing to do with that, see. That's the way God the Father is sometimes, friend. You just get dirty and nasty in the world, and you want to get back to God. He said, "Hey, you need to take a bath in the Word of God first before you get over here. You want to please God your Father? Bathe in His Scriptures." Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 6. You thought I forgot about that, didn't you? See, that preacher done forgot about 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17 says this: "Wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing, and I'll receive you." You know what God wants you to be? He wants you to be clean. Verse 18, "I will be a father unto you." You want to please God your Father? Clean up. Bathe in the Scriptures. "I'll be a father unto you. And you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty." Look at 2 Corinthians 7, 1. It keeps going. "Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God." This is God's soap right here. This blessed old book. You want to please God the Father? Brag on His Son. That ought to be so easy. That ought to be easy. Breathe in His Spirit. That ought to be easy. Bathe in His Scriptures. Boy, that ought to be easy. Let me give you something else. You want to please God your Father? I want to tell you, bless Him with your song. Bless Him with your song. Take your Bible. Turn it over to Psalms chapter 96. Psalms chapter 96. You want to please God your Father? Brag on His Son. Bathe in His Scriptures. Breathe in His Spirit. Let the Holy Spirit of God have liberty in your life. Quit living for the flesh. Psalms 96. Bless Him with your song. God wants your song. He wants you to sing and praise Him. That's why we do what we do here. We try to lift Him up, get you excited about it. Psalms 96, verse 2 says, verse 1 says, "Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord, all the earth. Sing unto the Lord. Bless His name." It's a blessing to God when you sing Him your song. Give Him your soul. Psalm 40, "I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined and He heard my cry, brought me up out of a horrible pit, set my feet on a rock, established my God, and He put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto my God." That's the first thing happened when you got saved. You know what God wants? You want to please Him? Bless Him with your song. Be a blessing to God. Look at Psalms 100. Psalms 100, verse 1. Here's how you come before the Lord. "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness and come before His presence with singing." That's why I open up Sunday school. With singing. You say why? It says that. Come before His presence. And bless Him. Bless Him. Bless Him with your song. Psalms 28, 7. "The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusteth in Him. And I am helped. Therefore my heart greatly rejoiceth with my song. My song. I'll praise Him." Oh man, I love to sing about the Lord. I can't sing. If I could sing, y'all would be in trouble. I'd really be up here. If I could sing like Brother Chris, that's all y'all hear. I can't sing, but I'll try. You know what God loves? He loves to hear your song. My little grandson, I let y'all hear that video. Man, my daughter sent me that a couple of days ago, and he's 5 years old, and he's singing. He's in there playing, "Why can't wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus." What a blessing! It blessed me so much. I heard about everybody here's heard that a couple of times. You'll probably hear it a couple more before it's over with. Hey, man, what a blessing! Bless him with your song. I got a real blessing Tuesday night, Brother Chris. One, I got to lead the guy to the Lord. That's a blessing. Got to preach. That's another blessing. But I got to watch these two dummies singing in the rain. I mean, we were there in that homeless place, and I mean a tsunami came through, didn't it? I don't mean a rain. I'm talking about Hurricane Frederick came through for a few minutes. I mean the rain fell on that roof, and that roof's metal, and it rattled your brain, man. And the wind began to blow. And man, there was some dead stuff nearby, wasn't it? That was the nastiest smell I ever heard in my life. Miss Carol said later, she said, "I couldn't eat a cracker around that, man. It was awful." I mean, it's raining, the thunder's going, and the rain's in the roof. And the wind's blowing the rain underneath it. We're all getting wet. And these two dummies are out there singing. Chris and Miss Jana. Luckily, I brought my microphone that day with me, my mic stands. And they're out there like my little grandson. "What can wash away my sin?" That's what they were sung. In the rain. Miss Jana's out there and her hair's blowing all over the place. That rain's hitting them. And that stench coming through there. And they're singing to a bunch of homeless people. I mean, they weren't at the First Baptist Church of Bug Tussle, brother. I don't know if I've ever seen anything a worse condition to sing in than that right there. And they're singing. And she's saying, "That smell is killing you." And here they are, that smell coming on them where you want to throw up, literally. I mean, it's that bad. And I mean, the rain hitting the thing. And the wind's blowing it in there. And they're singing to a bunch of homeless people looking at you. And they sung, "What can wash away my sin?" And then they sung, "When he was on the cross, I was on his mind." And I tell you what, Miss Jan and Brother Chris, I'll tell you the truth. I think I got the biggest blessing of any song you guys ever done was that night. I was looking to that thing and I thought, "Well, look at them dummies. Nobody can hear them. That rain's hitting on there. You can't hear them. They're getting soaking wet. It looked like a bunch of brown rats hanging out there trying to sing." I was thinking, look at that. And you know, I got thinking to myself, God the Father sitting up there that day, Miss Tara looking down there and say, "Hey! Hey, Michael, come over here! Hey, Gabriel, come and look at this! Look at these two dummies out here! Look at them out there singing in the rain! Look at them!" He said, "Hey, that's my kids right there." I believe that pleased God a lot more than getting up here even. I believe that pleased God that night when you guys went through all that and stood up there and sung and gave him your song. Because I'm going to tell you, a lot of times in this life, this world's going to stink, isn't it? Just like it was there. A lot of times the storms are going to come and they're going to hit you and blow on you. A lot of times it's going to drown you out. And that's when you really bless the God the Father with your song. It's easy, Miss Annie Mae, to sing when we're on the mountaintop, isn't it? Boy, it's harder to sing in that valley. You want to please God, your Father? Bless Him with your song. Brag on His Son. Breathe in His Spirit. Bathe in His Scripture. I'm going to give you something else. You want to please Him? Bring in some souls. Bring in some souls. I tell you, Brother Ben, I love you, buddy. I love that prayer. I love this church. There's soul winners in this church. There's more soul winners in this church per capita than any church I've ever been in. People in here, they're interested in souls. They're interested. And I tell you what, that's what this book's about. I can prove it over and over and over and over. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting. That's what this whole deal's about. It's getting people out of hell. That's why He came. The Bible said, for the Son of Man has come to seek and save that which is lost. Hey, you want to please the Father? Bring in some souls. That's what it's about. Isaiah 53 verse 10, it said, it pleased the Lord to bruise Him. It pleased to bruise Jesus Christ, His Son. You say, why? So that He could get people out of hell. You want to please your Father? Bring in some souls. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. God the Father allowed His Son come down this old filthy world. Sinless, spotless Lamb of God, never sinned. Walked this earth for 33 and a half years, beaten, spit upon, crucified, thrown into a grave, descended into hell, came back up. God allowed all that. You say, why? To get people out of hell. That's what we should be doing. That should be our motive, our goal. Everything in this church ought to be under that umbrella. Try to bring in some souls. You say, why do you go out to Walmart and do all those things? We're trying to bring in some souls. Why do you go to the street? We're trying to bring in some souls. Why do you go to the power walker? Trying to bring in some souls. You want to please God, your Father? Bring in some souls. When's the last time you've actually sat down with somebody and just went through the plan of salvation with them? You want to please God, your Father? Bring in some souls. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Paul was a man God saved named Saul of Tarsus. Acts chapter 26 verse 16 says this about Paul. The Lord told him, He said, but arise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose. He said, here's why I appeared unto you and saved you, to make thee a minister and a witness. You and I are down here as a witness for Jesus Christ. The Bible said about John the Baptist, he was a man sent from God and he came as a witness. They came to him and said, who are you? What sayest thou? He said, I'm a voice. Just a voice, the one crying in the wilderness. You want to please God, your Father? Bring in some souls. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Paul said this. Souls are everywhere. Man, they're all over Walmart. Best Buy. Brother Zito led a Mexican girl to Best Buy a while back. That was what a blessing. What a blessing. I mean, what's the chances of that? You're running across somebody like that unless you're out looking for them. What a blessing. Look at 1 Corinthians 9:22. Here's what Paul said. To the weak became I as weak. 1 Corinthians 9:22. To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I made all things to all men, that by all means I might save some. Paul said, it's right. I'll do whatever I can because I'm trying to bring some souls in. That song, bring them in, bring them in, bring them in to Jesus. Turn to Luke chapter 15. You want to please God, your Father? Brag on His Son. That ought to be easy. Breathe in His Spirit. If you're saved, that ought to be easy. Bathe in His Scriptures. That ought to be so easy. That ought to be so easy. Bathe in His Scriptures. Bless Him with your song. Bring in some souls. Boy, I tell you, I got a blessing this week. I got to lead two people to the Lord. What a blessing. What a blessing. What a blessing. One of the greatest things in the world. And I always ask them, take my hand, pray with me. What a blessing it is, Brother Chris, to take somebody's hand and walk them into the kingdom of God. Woo! It doesn't get any better than that. It don't get any better than that. Man, that's good stuff. Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15. I love this verse. You want to please God, your Father? Bring in some souls. Look at Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15 verse 7. I say unto you, that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than 99. Hey, you know what brings joy in heaven? You know what, bless God the Father? I'll tell you, bring in some souls. You want to see what gets God happy in heaven? You know it's in heaven, God the Father, there's joy in heaven. When somebody gets saved, you want to please Him? Bring in some souls. Bring in some souls. Brag on His Son. Breathe in His Spirit. Bathe in His Scriptures. Bless Him with your song. I'll give you one more thing this morning. You want to please God your Father? Burden Him with your sorrows. Turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Get Psalms 103. You know what a father loves to do? You know what a father loves to do? He loves to comfort his children. I tell you, one of the greatest joys as a father is when your children bring you their sorrows and their problems, and brother, that you can comfort them. You want to please God the Father? Burden Him with your sorrows. I mean, there's so many promises in the Word of God. Cast in all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. A father loves to comfort his children. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. Nothing in the world as a father being able to comfort his children. That song Brother Chris and the ladies sing through it all, one of the verses says, "So I thank God for the mountains and I thank Him for the valleys. I thank Him for the storms He brought me through. You know, if I'd never had a problem, I'd never know what my God could solve them. And I'd never know what my God could do." He wants you to burden Him with His sorrows and show you how good He is. Do you know what we do? We won't do it. We let our all stinking pride and everything hold on to it and be mad and just have a little pity party. Let Him have it! Let Him have it! As a father, there's nothing like it. Psalm 103 verse 13 says, "As a father pitieth his children, as the Lord pitieth them that fear Him." 1 Thessalonians 2:11. "And you know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father doth his children." Burden God the Father. Burden Him with your sorrows. You want to please Him? He wants you to do that. He loves that. That's how you get to know Him. Well, my kids got, my Rachel and Luke got married, you know. They wanted to get married. First day they met, I guess, didn't they? Or maybe even before they met. And they were wanting to get married in school. And I said, "You can't get married in school. You can't afford it." And they, "Oh, yeah, yeah." They bought me an Excel spreadsheet and these numbers. And I said, "Pooey, you don't have any money. You guys are living in a dreamland. You can't get married." I said, "When you get out of, you got to graduate from college, then you can get married." 2 days after she graduated, we had a wedding. She kept her part of the deal. And I told her before they get married, I told my kids, "Now, when you get married, you're on your own." I said, "There, I'll help you if you get in trouble. I'm your father. But I'm telling you, you got to make this thing work. This is between you and your spouse. You understand?" I said, "This thing, y'all got to figure it out, okay?" "Okay." You know, I told that to both my kids, sat down with them. Said, "You got to figure it out." And so, my daughter, she got married. One day she called me, Brother Zeke told me she didn't want to call her dad. And she called me crying one day. She bounced a check. She never bounced a check before. And you know how it is when you first get married, man, you're down to the fourth of a cent. And something happened, service charge or something, she added wrong. She cried, "Dad, I'm so sorry." And somebody told her the police was after her, you know. They told her she's going to be arrested. She bounced a check, forged a check, and all that stuff. "I'm so sorry. I can't believe," she said, "I'm married, added wrong. And Luke's mad at me, the police after me, Dad." I mean, she was just weeping. I love those times, Brother Zito. As a father, Brother Dot, that's what you crave those days when those children come to you with that. And I had her on the phone. They banked with the Regions. I banked with the Regions, and I told her, I said, "Kiddo, I just put $300 into your account." I said, "I just transferred $300 in your account. Everything's taken care of. Don't worry about it." And I said, "Kiddo, here's what I want you to do tonight. I want you and Luke, this is done, it's taken care of. I want y'all to go to the best, take that $300 and go to the best restaurant in Pensacola and have a good time." She told my wife a couple of days later, she said, "Boy, Dad was so comforting. He was so tender and kind." See, there's times to lecture them, isn't there? That's not the time. There's time God will lecture to you, God the Father, but there's time, brother, bring them sorrows and burden Him with them, let Him have them. He loves that, man. Boy, that was one of the greatest days, Brother Zito, to be able to comfort my daughter that day. God wants that out of you. If you want to please God your Father, burden Him with your sorrows. Quit carrying those things around. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. You know what those sorrows and cares will do? They'll devour you. Literally. I don't care who you are, how strong you are, you think you are. But I'm going to tell you, if you don't cast all your care on Him, you're in trouble. Look at 1 Peter chapter 5, 7 says this, one of the greatest verses in the Bible. Miss Jana sent me this many times on text sometimes. I love this verse. Casting all your care upon Him. What a verse, for He careth for you. But look at the next verse. Here's what's so amazing to me. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Because I'm going to tell you, if you don't cast all your care upon Him, the devil will devour you. It'll eat you alive. Because I'm going to tell you, the cares of this life and all the problems and the worries and the troubles and everything, I'm going to tell you, if you don't get hold of God and burden Him with your sorrows, the devil will come there and devour you. He will eat you alive. And I've seen it. You want to please God, your Father? Brag on His Son. Bathe in His Scripture. Breathe in His Spirit. Bless Him with a song. Bring in some souls and burden them with your sorrows. I go down the park and I have a great time. I've got to meet a lot of people down there. And incredible people. And I was there last week. And week before last is on Friday. And I met a guy I'd never seen before there, and I've met a few I don't see. And Brother Chris, he was sitting in the pavilion, and he had the biggest smile, Samantha, you ever seen in your life. He was just smiling and just so happy. You can tell. I thought, man, God is all over that guy. I could just tell. I said, God's got to be all over that guy. And he was sitting there in the pavilion, and I introduced myself, and his name was Tommy Holmes, and he worked for Alabama Power, 63, same age I was. And I got talking with him, gave him a little gospel tract. He said he was saved, and I could tell, but he was saved. And I gave him one of the little church tracts, told him, pastor, a little church down the road up here and everything. And I said, what you been doing out here? I said, you been walking? He laughed. He said, no, Brother Terry, I'm not down here walking. He said, I came out here at 6:30 this morning. This was 10 o'clock right now. He said, I've been out here at 6:30 this morning. I said, what in the world you been doing at 6:30? He said, I've been talking to my Father. You know what God wants you to do? He wants you to burden Him with His sorrows. And he said, oh, Brother Terry, He has been so good to me. He said, He has been so good to me. Whenever somebody tells me that, you know what, Brother Chris, I say, tell me about it. I want to hear it. I love to hear people brag about my daddy and my Savior. And he said, oh, well, Brother Terry, he said, I've had 4 major strokes. I was thinking, well, it don't sound too good so far. Now, he said, I've had 4 major strokes. He said, I had open heart bypass. And he said, I had five bypasses from open heart. And he said, I got this old diabetes. And he said, man, this is bad stuff. He said, I'm about blind now. And he said, I don't have any feelings in my legs. He said, my memory's going really bad. He said, if I see you tomorrow, I won't remember you. And he said, a few days ago, I found out I've got stage 4 lung cancer. And here's this boy, Miss Carol, old Tommy. Biggest smile you've ever seen in your whole life, just bubbling over, Miss Rachel. He said, how'd he do it? He burdened his Father with his sorrows. He said, I've been down there since 6:30 praying, talking to my Father. You see, you give him to God, that pleases Him. That'll please Him. That old boy, all he's going through, he is such a blessing. He is such a blessing. Mr. Matthew, you know what he did? He had a little chihuahua there with him. And he said, today is my birthday. And he said, today is my dog's birthday too. And he said, preacher, would you take a picture of me and my dog for me? And he held that little chihuahua smiling his tear, and I took pictures of him. All that stuff that old boy had going through him, he had the biggest smile just shining all over the place. You say, why? He pleased his Father. He burdened his Father with his sorrow. He didn't carry him around. He said, okay, Lord, you got him. You got him. Our Father, we thank you this morning, Lord. Lord, I thank you that we can call you our Father. That verse said we can say, Abba, Father. Thank you, Lord, for that. Thank you, God, we can come to you. You told us many, many times, cast all our care upon you. And you told us, be careful for nothing by our prayer and supplication. And Lord, I pray, Lord, above everything, Lord, I want to please you, Lord. Not for rewards, Lord. That's nothing to do with it, Lord. I'm not even looking at that, God. I just want to please you because I love you, Lord. I just want to please you, God, because you've been so good to me, Lord. And Lord, no matter what I do, no matter what I would go through this life, no matter what I gave up, God, it wouldn't be nothing compared to what you did, Lord. And Lord, I just thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that I'm able to serve you. What a privilege it is, Lord. What an honor it is, Lord. What an honor it is to give out a gospel tract and tell somebody about the Lord Jesus and brag on your Son. What a blessing it is to get up every morning, Lord, and open up the precious Word of God and take a bath, Lord, and get clean, my mind clean. What a blessing it is, Lord, to breathe in the Spirit of God, not have to live by this old flesh, Lord, and go around this flesh. What a blessing it is, Lord, to sing a song and bless you. And what a blessing it is to lead a soul to Jesus Christ. What a blessing it is, God, to just give you our burdens, Lord. What a blessing just to let you have them, dear Lord. Father, I pray your blessing upon this message. Pray, Lord, you do whatever you can with it this morning, Lord. In Jesus' name. I ask my wife just to come play for a few minutes this morning. Every head bowed. God spoke to you this morning. Move. I preached this morning. I said, hey, God's cheapest, least expensive way of getting you right is preaching. Don't put it off. Don't put it off. Let God do what He can do. Let God do it. Give God your sorrows. Burden God with your problems. Let Him have them. Quit trying to figure it out. You can't figure it out. You don't know what God's doing. You're not bathing the Scriptures. Start taking a bath. You gotten dirty? You want to please God? I want to please God more than anything. God spoke to you. Come on, move. Some of down here, more of you ought to come. Let God have it. Let God have it. Quit dragging that ball and chain around that's beating you to death. Let God give Him your sorrows. Burden Him with it. Let Him have it. He can do it. You can't do it. Burden God. Brag about His Son. When's the last time you sit down and talk to somebody about Jesus Christ? Bathe in His Scripture. Breathe in His Spirit. Bless Him with your song. Sing. Say, preacher, I don't feel like singing. I'm down the dumps. That's the best time to sing. That's when the storm and the lightning is beating down on you, and the wind's blowing, and the stench is coming through you, and hardly stand it. That's the time you sing to the Lord. Bless Him with your song. Burden Him. Burden Him. Casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking you, may devour. He'll devour you. If you don't give that to God, He'll devour you. He'll eat you up. You're no match for Him. You're no match for Him. He's real. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face. And the things of this world will go strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. It's amazing. I tell you, above everything on this earth, I want to please my Lord. Nothing else is not even in the ballpark, really. I can't even compare anything to it. Don't always do it. In fact, most of the time I probably don't. But boy, I want to. God knows my heart. He knows my heart. He knows I want to. He knows I'll try. Hard. God spoke to you. Pray where you at. Some down here still praying. Pray where you at. The altar's where things are altered. I love that. See, nothing happens with a sermon until you do something with it. Goes in one ear, out the other. Thank you. Brother Chris, would you dismiss us this morning?
Dear Heavenly Father, thank you, Father, for this day you've given us, God, to come in your house, Lord God.
Amen.
Thank you for all those who came out today, Father. I pray, God, all prayers and prayer requests, God, those who came to the altar, Father, I pray, God, that you'll